You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. In recent weeks, we've been introducing you to candidates running for governor. Today, State Senator Patrick Kolbeck, running for the Republican nomination, joins us. Welcome.
Great to be with you. Thank you, Lester.
What sparked your interest in being governor?
Well, I think you got to go back to what sparked my interest in getting into politics in the first place, because for the first 44 years of my life, I came from a family where we did not talk about politics. So my background is actually in aerospace engineering. So the whole idea of getting into politics is kind of foreign for most aerospace engineers. And I know it was foreign for my wife when we did our wedding vows over 22 years ago. So for me, this is about passion for public service. And for me, my wife personally, this is a call of faith. It's a case where you see everything that's going out in the world, and you get kind of frustrated. And there's a couple different ways you can respond to that. One is to yell at the TV and radio. And the other is to go out and do something about it. So my wife and I felt called to go out and do something about it. And, you know, it may sound cliche, but make the world a better place.
What kind of things frustrated you?
When you see some of the stuff that's going on where you have elected officials that think that the people are supposed to be working for them and not the other way around, when you start seeing that tax increases are the default solution for every problem that faces us, when you start seeing crony capitalism and people picking winners and losers and using taxpayer money to go off and reward friends and family, that's the kind of stuff that ticks me off.
What are some of your major accomplishments as a state senator that would tell us what you'd be like as a governor?
Well, a lot of things. Dealing with health care was one of the key things. I was probably the most vocal opponent to anything to do with the Affordable Care Act. And because
so
I
you'd
actually
be against
read it,
Medicaid expansion in Michigan.
I was the most vocal opponent to that. Matter of fact, Kathy Gray in the Free Press once referred to me as the most vocal opponent to Obamacare. And because I read it, I realized it was more about control than it was about care. And I provided mechanisms, free market healthcare mechanisms. I've gone all across the state talking about ways that we can lower the cost of care, but actually improve the quality. And actually, we've gotten national recognition on that. I've actually got a couple articles published in Forbes, been called out to Heritage Foundation, spoke on certificate of need repeal. We're making traction on free market health care reform. It gets to the heart of the idea of adhering to our Constitution and adhering to the fact that our government is not supposed to be mandating that we have certain services like what Obamacare does. We are a country that appreciates this little concept called freedom, and we got to start having government officials that actually advocate for policies that promote that.
I ask everyone this question. The governor's sort of like a CEO of a $56 billion corporation, but the governor answers to citizens, not shareholders. So what qualifies you to manage everything from environmental protection to prisons to welfare agencies in a way that benefits all Michigan citizens?
Well, I mean, my background, I started off with aerospace engineering. I mean, and I've worked on some pretty challenging programs like the International Space Station with Boeing. Went to International Space University, worked on life sciences, worked for the Department of Defense on virtual reality training systems for the military. So it's a pretty diverse background. That led to a career where I had 11 years in management consulting. In management consulting, you get hit with a lot of different business issues that are across a lot of different industries. And it's given me a pretty wide perspective on what are some common issues that are faced by a lot of management organizations. And the nice thing is that in government, I've actually gone off and provided ways to go off and fix some of those issues. As a state chair for the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs budget and the state police budget, I actually converted our budgets from just a line item with a noun next to it, with a bunch of dollars next to it, which essentially turned into, here's your money, we'll talk to you again next year, to a service level agreement, which is in line with what I used to do in my consulting business. And that service level agreement says, not only is it, here's the money you're getting, here's the services we're expecting, but here's the quality metrics we're going to judge you on. Here are the capacity metrics that go along with that funding size. And you know, as a result of that basic approach, we turned Michigan's veteran services from one of the worst performing veteran service organizations in the country to number two in the nation. And same thing on state police. We convert it from four of the top 10 crime cities down to just one. And I'd like to do that for all the respective agencies. And I'm actually, if you look at the principled solutions that I talk about throughout this campaign, I'm hitting the full spectrum of the issues you're talking about. We're going to talk healthcare. We're going to talk public safety. We're going to talk economic development policy. We're going to talk how to fix the roads and do it in a way that they last longer. I defy you to find anybody else that's in this race that has a broader spectrum of practical, tangible solutions, and I think that's the engineer in me that likes to take that approach, because I'm not waiting for that lobbyist to hand me a bill to go off and push.
Governor Rick Snyder has been on the job almost 7 years now. What do you think are the lessons to be learned from the Snyder administration?
I think one of the things is to take advantage of things like what I've done with the service level agreements and performance objectives. It's not just, he's done a very good job, I think, of getting the state government to start thinking about performance. I think that in a lot of cases, he's not looking at the right metrics. For example, on Healthy Michigan, you don't judge the success of that program by the number of people who need government assistance. You judge it based on the number of people who no longer need it because the price of healthcare is lower and more people can get access to it. So I think one of the things you need to do is make sure you've got the right metrics. And overall, you know, I think when you start taking over responsibilities as an emergency manager, for example, in a different state, you got to make sure that you are acting as a de facto mayor for that particular city. And that means you have to provide a little bit more attention to it than maybe has been paid.
What do you think the big hot button issues, social issues, will be in Michigan for the next couple of years?
Probably the same ones that have been out there for the last decade.
Well, let's tick off some of them.
Well, I mean, we just had a case where Equality Michigan was trying to usurp the legislative process by going to the Civil Rights Commission and asking them to amend the language of the Elliott-Larsen Act. So I think there's going to be continued attempts to either use our court system or use executive branch to overcome deficiencies in their ability to make the case to the people.
Can I ask you about that in particular?
Yeah.
We don't have any kind of protections for LGBT people in the Constitution now, should we?
We had an amendment that was put into the Constitution back in 2004 that expressed the will of the people. 2,688,088 people voted in affirmation for defense of marriage, that marriage is between a man and a woman. That's a related topic, but it's a case where people have put a constitutional amendment in, and then via other unconstitutional action done by our Supreme Court, they actually abrogated a provision of our state constitution with one ruling in Obergefell. So now I have a problem with if it was put into the Constitution in a way that actually was supported by the people, I took an oath to support the Constitution, I will do that. But the fact is, they are going outside of the constitutional responsibilities, and that's going to be a persistent tactic that's being played here to try to kind of ignore our rule of law and ignore our system of government, and I'm not going to stand for that.
You're one of six Republican candidates so far, and everybody expects an announcement from Brian Kelly as well.
Yeah.
On the political spectrum, from liberal to moderate to conservative, where do you land compared to the other Republican candidates?
Well, obviously, I've been rated the most conservative two out of my last 6 years, and I'm always in the top three. It's because I stand on principle. There's a, when I first got elected.
In the legislature, we should.
In the legislature, yeah. It's because when I first got elected, I got some friends that said, how are you going to keep from becoming part of the problem instead of part of the solution? And we put together something we call the compass. And this compass is 10 questions that we ask before any contentious piece of legislation to make sure we're still staying on track. Ultimately, the way I like to characterize our candidacy versus the others is that we paint in bold colors, not pale pastels. The stuff that we're pursuing are always putting the priorities of the citizens at the top of the priority list. When I pushed for and led the effort to make Michigan the 24th right-to-work state in the Michigan Senate, that was a major achievement, but it was also something that it was painting in bold colors. People were saying that wouldn't be done for decades, but I was responding to what I was hearing on the doors from rank-and-file union members that were upset that their First Amendment rights were being taken away. I painted bold colors on the income tax. So when we're talking about reducing the state income tax, I'm not talking about a 0.35% reduction like some candidates are talking about. I provided a pragmatic, milestone-driven approach to actually take it all the way down to zero. So that's a big difference when you start looking at what our candidacy is versus the other. It's pale. It's bold colors versus pale pastels.
Do you mind telling us a little bit more about the compass you mentioned? What were the guidelines in that compass?
Number one, is it constitutional? Number two, I mean, we can go through, I don't have all memorized. That's
just,
why I
just
keep it out of my desk.
Broad stroke.
But making sure that, there's one of them that I think most people appreciate, if you pass this law, will the average eighth grader understand how to comply with it? Sometimes we get these nice little thick bills that are designed to, like the Affordable Care Act, that's at the federal level, but they get these thick bills and it's like, you know, you have to be a lawyer in order to interpret it. Now, our laws were meant to be followed by the citizens. And if the citizens can't understand how to follow it, then that's wrong. You know, just making sure that it doesn't make it more difficult to create more and better jobs in the state. Make sure that it's not increasing the tax burden on our families. So there's some simple compass items that we've asked, when we get into those bills, and, you know, sometimes it's fun because you'll have five yeses and five noes, and it gets interesting. You got to you got to go back to what you've your core beliefs. But overall, it's been very good at keeping us on track.
Now, among the Republican candidates, what makes you the correct nominee for the Republican Party?
Well, I think it goes back to that bold colors and the idea that I'm not talking platitudes. I'm not trying to redefine my record. I'm actually, if you want to go to morninginmichigan.com, you can see all my floor speeches, editorials, everything that we've done, all the solutions we posted up there. I'm not running away from my record. We have painted consistently in bold colors. We're not trying to redefine ourselves for this election. And I think you'll find a lot of pale pastels in the other area where they're just putting their fingers up to the wind and just reacting to things that may or may not be in the best interests of the citizens at large. We got to get back to the point where the government works for the people, not the other way around. I think you see that on both sides of the political aisle in that recent presidential election. You saw that in the Bernie Sanders candidacy as much as you saw it in the President Trump candidacy.
Senator Patrick Kolbeck is a Republican candidate for Michigan governor. Thanks for joining us. I'm sure we'll be talking again in the future.
Absolutely. Appreciate the opportunity, Lester.